This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Tauber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, we are on a bit of a high because we have been in a fierce debate for many days now about our food hierarchies. You might have seen us sharing them online, and we feel like we have just topped the food hierarchies. We have done an ultimate McDonald's food hierarchy.
Or McDonald's for others.
And now, there was a bit of contention because we did map this out with our little cousins, and they wanted to have no burgers in the top tier.
That is ridiculous, because their philosophy behind that decision was that they don't reach for their burger first. They reach for the chips. But who doesn't reach for chips in the car? It's easier to eat.
And for those who might not have seen it, we did a hierarchy on the top biscuits, the top ice cream, and what was the other one? Block of chocolate. Sorry, the chips is to come.
Amy first made the chocolate one herself, and I did agree with a lot of things that she had on there, but there were a few contentious issues that then continued to rear its head. And I've got to say, with the biscuit one, none of us voted for mint slice to be down the bottom.
Well, those who haven't seen it, mint slice and what was the other contentious one? Oreos. We had mint slice and Oreos in the meh tier, which caused a lot of upset.
Come on, Oreos used to be good back in the day, but they are tiny.
Yeah, well, we've got to paint the picture for you. We actually had our two younger cousins who are 21 and 24 over on Wednesday night, and we were eating pizza, and then we decided to come up with the biscuit hierarchy, and they had very strong opinions about mint slice.
I wish we'd recorded it because it was the most hilarious discussion. I've never seen my cousin so passionate about something.
Well, it's funny because unlike them, we grew up never being allowed to have any biscuits at all. Like, it was a massive treat to have a Tim Tam, maybe at Grandma and Grandpa's, or a Monte Carlo biscuit.
Perhaps a downfall then of our hierarchy? Maybe we haven't tasted enough biscuits.
No, but I feel like they got them all the time, so they don't really find them as special as we did, perhaps.
Well, as Sophie said, we're going to be releasing the McDonald's hierarchy, but we really want to do more, and I think that next time we need to have the food laid out and do a little taste test. What do
you guys
think?
Sort of a mukbang style, maybe.
Well, not really a mukbang, but I feel like sometimes you forget the taste. Like, we put ginger nut down the bottom, and a lot of people were saying they love ginger nut, and I'm sorry,
ginger nut is revolting.
Well, I thought it was revolting, but you never know. Your palate might have matured and it might taste suddenly good now.
I think the next one we do, we've just got to go for it and not care if it's a bit out there.
I don't care. Well,
I also think maybe not listen to our little cousins. I think it just has to be our opinion this time.
What happens when you turn into the subject you critique? That's exactly what co-hosts of Australia's most popular podcast of 2019, Shameless, are experiencing. The epic rise of Shameless has earned co-hosts Michelle Andrews and Zara McDonald influential status themselves. An ironic feat considering holding influencers to account is what made them popular in the first place. It is this irony and the repercussions it has caused that we will be dissecting today. So for those who don't listen to Shameless, Kate, can you tell us exactly who they are and what it was about them that struck a chord with so many women in the beginning?
Well, I, for one, am an OG listener of Shameless, and the podcast is run by Melbourne journalists Zara McDonald and Michelle Andrews. And back in 2018, they started the podcast in their bedroom, and it quickly became iconic because they really became the voice of our generation, and they were discussing issues that don't usually get a lot of attention.
Well, their whole tagline is that it's a podcast for smart women who love dumb stuff, and they really became popular for dissecting Australian influences in a very clever and nuanced way, which is something we'd never seen before at the time. And they really gave a strong voice to feminist debate.
And they were from Mamma Mia. So they originally wrote articles for Mia Friedman's site. And it's always been interesting to listen to them from a media perspective, finding little tidbits out about Mamma Mia, because you can tell there's quite a beef that's going on there.
Yeah, I think they're trying to be professional about it and not say too much. But yeah, as you said, there is that underlying thing. And of course, for a while, the podcast was something that they were doing as a bit of a side project whilst they were working for Mamma Mia. And then obviously, it seems like it became that they couldn't work there any longer because it really was rivaling a lot of, you know, Mamma Mia Out Loud and the podcast they were producing. Because of course, they actually pitched the idea for the podcast to Mamma Mia and they rejected them. So it must have been a bit of an awkward situation going on.
It has been really incredible to see how quickly their podcast and profile has grown in the past couple of years. As we mentioned, they were named the most popular podcast in 2019. Kate, can you talk us through how the podcast has gradually evolved since they have found a level of fame?
Well, for me, the episode that really put them on the map and got people talking was the one where they dissected Sarah Day's decision to talk about her treating her cervical dysplasia with natural food and medicines. And I mean, as a big fan of Sarah Day, I found it quite interesting to listen to. At the same time, it was hard because obviously I really like her, but I think they gave a really balanced overview of the situation.
And no one else was talking about people like Sarah Day. So I know for me, when I heard them talking about influencers I actually followed, my ears pricked up and I was like, wow, I don't hear this on the radio.
And there was an epic episode where they discussed Louise Milligan's report on Four Corners about influencers promoting plastic surgery. And they even went as far as naming Shani Grimmon, Chloe Zepp, and Lily Brown as instigators for this movement.
It's really interesting, though, because this week they're actually having Chloe Zepp's boyfriend, Mitchell Orville, on their podcast. So it is interesting to see how they have evolved to slam his girlfriend, but then now are speaking to him about his addiction.
When you say slam, though, I think it's fair to say they didn't exactly slam Chloe Zepp. They've been really clear since day one. They want to focus on the influencer's action and not the person behind the action, if that makes sense. So I can understand why they'd have Mitchell on, but there has been a change, hasn't there, in the way that they tackle the issue of influencers.
Well, exactly right. So obviously everyone really enjoyed their balanced reports on influencers, but now they've ironically found themselves in the situation where they actually are influencers themselves.
Yeah.
So how do you go about holding influencers to account when you actually are an influencer? Plus, you're making friends with the influencers you're having on your program.
Well, they, of course, have their In Conversation episodes. And I know Steph Claire Smith was probably one of the first big names they got in there because Michelle worked for Keep It Cleaner as a copywriter.
Well, actually, Steph wasn't a guest on an In Conversation. That only happened quite recently, but she was a very small guest on, I think it was like their third episode.
Oh, okay. It was a phone-in guest.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting point you make about Steph Claire Smith, because I feel like she has always been a contentious topic to Shameless. Of course, you know, I know secret. Sophie and I love Steph Claire Smith. We do the Keep It Cleaner workout. I love watching her on Instagram, but it's sort of is hard because a lot of what Shameless were originally preaching, especially about sun safety, which of course has been such an amazing initiative that they've done, and so many people are now wearing sunscreen because of them, but it was kind of got a bit murky because they're always promoting Steph Claire Smith, but she's one of the influencers that's quite out there in glamorizing tanning culture. So it was always funny because they never said anything about her. And I mean, I can completely understand that. It would be a rather awkward situation, but I suppose that's where we find ourselves in, that the more they get engrossed into this influencer industry, the more they can't call people out, which was the whole point of why they existed.
Yeah, as you say, it seems like they really are unable to hold these influencers to account because they have become best buddies with them. And it seems like they are part of this new cool girl Melbourne clique. So, I mean, let's go through who the members of this clique really are. So we've got Steph Claire Smith, as you touched on before, and Laura Henshaw. We have Sarah Davidson, Olivia Rogers, Michelle Battersby, Jade Tunchi, Sammy Robinson, and Gemma Watts.
And when you say they're part of this clique, you're saying that they've either been on Shameless, they're friends of friends, and they're supporting one another. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So they're kind of like Taylor Swift's clique that she made back in 2015. It was quite widely reported on in 2015. I think it was the VMAs when Taylor Swift arrived with 9 female dates to the award. It was people like Gigi Hadid, Carla Delevingne, I think that's how you pronounce her name.
Yeah, that's right.
Selena Gomez, all of those amazing people. So she had all of them, and it started trending worldwide, this girl squad. So it's almost like the girl squad of Melbourne. And of course, those people that Sophie spoke about, Sarah Davidson, she has her own podcast and she's from Matcha Made, and Olivia Rogers, a former Miss Universe contestant. So some very beautiful, but then also very well-connected people in the industry.
Isn't it terrible though? Because when you hear the word clique, it sounds bitchy, and we're not inferring that at all. It seems like such a group of amazing women who I would love to be friends with all of them, of course. I mean, they seem like great women.
And that's where the contentious issue comes into it. Obviously, they have now been elevated to influencer status themselves, so they are mingling with this circle of people. And the question does arise to everyone who listens to this. If suddenly you were plucked from obscurity and became a somebody and part of this sort of elitist group, how would you feel? Would you want to be friends with them, or would you stick to the fundamentals of your podcast and continue to speak about them?
Well, it is interesting because it's hard, because the reason that they're popular is because they are sharing their true opinions on the influencer world. And it's really difficult for them because I feel like a lot of their popularity has stemmed from the fact they seem like your best friend. You seem as if you're listening into one of their conversations. They could be the girls from uni, and then suddenly you go on Instagram and they're part of the cool group.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people use that type of analogy of the sort of girl next door, almost nerd, going into the top ranks of the popular group to describe Taylor Swift and her clique. And I think that's exactly what's happening here, and why Michelle and Zara might be copying a bit of criticism, because it's almost like, wow, they were one of us and now they're in that group. And it's hard to differentiate, because the interesting thing is, whilst they were friends with them, they still have had, not recently, but last year, they had a piece on Elise Knowles, and they were critiquing her about being a model and that she's using something that's been given to her by God, essentially, from birth, her looks, and how it's not really fair that she's making the most out of them. Whereas then they praise someone like Steph Claire Smith, again, who they're friends with, and it's sort of those two people could be quite comparable in terms of using their looks to then grow a successful business.
That's right. And I feel like this quote summed it up really well. It was in an article about Taylor Swift. It said, "A squad isn't always a source of feminist social support or an oasis of nurturing female friendships in a desert of misogyny. Often it is a more subtle extension of adolescent hierarchy that puts some girls in the cool bunk and some girls in the loser bunk, a terrifying funhouse mirror image of what it means to actually be a woman and have close female friends in a world that is hostile to women and skeptical of their friendships already."
And I think what's important to mention is what we're referring to is, as Shameless has gotten bigger and bigger, it seems that some of its number one supporters back in the day are now turning on the women, which is often what we see when there are women who are in a power position, or they do surround themselves with other powerful friends, as you mentioned, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, this all came to a head on April 29th when the girls made a public announcement on their Facebook page about being trolled. So they wrote to the group that, "We feel as the community has grown in size, so too has the viciousness of its tone. On a really personal level, while we believe constructive criticism is crucial for any great show and greatly appreciate the feedback that pushes us to be better, the tone of some negative feedback lately has been incredibly hard to read. The personal nature of what we are receiving, not only here but also across our email inbox, private Facebook group, Instagram DMs and podcast reviews, is very difficult to wake up to every morning. It's one thing to give constructive criticism on the podcast. It's another thing entirely to criticize who we are as people, and we feel that the line has been crossed far too often this month."
And this wasn't received well. They didn't allow people in the community to comment on the post, which I'm assuming they did so because they didn't want any more hurtful comments. But what this did was it made people go into their review section on the Apple podcast and write awful. Well, sorry, when I say awful, some of the comments were constructive by nature and others sort of were pulling down some of the personal attributes about the girls.
Yeah, and I think that's important to note. I think it's disgusting that people are personally tearing them apart. I mean, there's no need to comment on the fact that they talk about their boyfriends or their dog or...
or even their appearance being brought into it.
Yeah, I think that's so wrong. But it is difficult because I think some of the commentary from their fans, like the OG listeners, is quite constructive. I've had a look at it. And some of them are actually very polite and say, "Hey, I really love the podcast. I've been listening since day one, but I really enjoyed how you used to hold influencers to account. And it would be great if you could give more of a balanced opinion these times." So I think those are helpful.
Yeah. And as we touched on, the past few months, they have really missed a lot of hot topics involving influencers. At the moment, I'd say for the past year, they have only been looking at international influencers, either from America or England. They have really avoided speaking about anyone on a local level. And if you go back to look at their first few episodes, it was so locally focused, and that was what made them stand out.
Do you guys think that they can actually comment on influencers? Because as you said, they're friends with so many of them. Australia is a small place. I mean, if they say they're friends with Olivia Rodgers, she's friends with another influencer. They're all connected in that way. And from their perspective, I can see why they don't want to go on the attack, because their community is so big and they don't miss a beat, do they?
Well, it's really interesting because back in June 2019, Shameless did an episode about Cassidy from Love Island, and she had put out a post saying that it was really difficult being an influencer. And Zara explained how the influencer industry is very insular by nature and the way it's been built. And she said that work and play overlap, causing influencers to become close to each other. They essentially become co-workers or colleagues. And because of this, they get trapped in a bubble, which is enabling. It's hard not to lose perspective of what's normal. So I feel like they have lost themselves in this bubble. They are now in this Melbourne click bubble.
It is interesting that that was Zara's own words on that sort of philosophy, but yet they are falling victim to it themselves.
Yeah, it's so true what you say. But then if you think about it, I mean, they have evolved into having all these issues that influencers now have. So they are facing severe trolling by what it sounds like. So there could be the argument that they're becoming friends with people who are going through the same things as them.
I do think it is difficult for them because as the podcast has grown, so too has a list of sponsorship opportunities they've had for not only their podcast, but for their own personal Instagram accounts. So if you have a look at not only Shameless's page, but both of the girls' accounts, they're often seen promoting different products. So it's very hard for you to be criticizing someone else for doing it. And it's also hard because those brands are then connected to other influencers. So it might affect their potential brand deal.
Yeah, that would definitely be a tricky balance. And I suppose it's a balance that Michelle did talk about on the episode of Shameless when they were discussing Cassidy from Love Island's view on influencers. And she was talking about how she thinks audiences should be giving influencers who actually do something, in inverted commas, a bit of slack. So I feel like she was measuring influencers' worth on whether they provided a sort of service or product. So, you know, like the Kick Girls, Steph Claire Smith was big on Instagram for modeling, but then she turned it into a massive business. And I don't know, what did everyone think of that? Because it sounded a little bit judgy of the people that have Instagram followings because they're models or they post pictures.
It's a hard one because a lot of, if you're an influencer and you put up photos, that might bring joy to somebody else's life.
You know, old, weird, creepy men.
But I don't know, I feel like it's a bit of a self-serving comment because she's almost inferring that because they post stuff and they've got a podcast, then that makes it all right. I think they're trying to draw parallels between different influencers and maybe they're trying to, I suppose, stick up for their influencer sort of clique. Mm. Because if you look at all those women, they all have amazing businesses behind them. I mean, the Shameless girls have created an amazing media empire. They've got to take your hats off to them.
Yeah, but the thing is also, obviously, I think they're like what they've done is amazing, but how much do they owe the influencers who helped them get started? So I know I keep saying Steph Claire Smith, but as you said, she and Olivia Rogers were the people that were sharing their podcast. Like that's how I found out about the podcast, through Olivia Rogers' Instagram. So it almost seems like they're a little bit in debt to the influencers that got them started, hence why they, you know, received good. Yeah. But then again, also, do you think there's an element of people wanting to be their friends so they don't get critiqued on Shameless? Because it's pretty bad for people's careers to be critiqued on there.
Well, it is a good move to kind of become friends with them and an ally of Shameless.
But there's been a lot of criticism I've seen online that a lot of the guests that Shameless have on are then recycled. So if you look at another one, I don't know if you mentioned this in the, you know, supposed Melbourne clique, but Tully Smythe would be one.
Oh, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she then started a podcast for Mamma Mia, which I thought was very controversial considering she'd appeared on Shameless and she seemed to be friends with the girls. And there's obviously that beef between Shameless and Mamma Mia. But a lot of the guests are recycled on these podcasts.
Oh, the same with Kick and the same with Abby Chatfield. Like it was almost like Kick had Abby Chatfield on and then Abby had them on it. I loved both of them because I love listening to those three women.
But Abby was great because Abby actually asked the girls different questions that they've never been asked before.
I really enjoyed it because I saw a completely different side of Laura and Steph.
But then you can kind of see in that element that Shameless really were the pioneers in that industry of getting influencers on
podcasts. I think Mamma Mia were, to be honest.
I think No Filter with Mia Freedman, that was the first one. And I think people are forgetting that because obviously they worked for Mamma Mia and they knew what was successful for them.
But let's be honest as well. I think that people often throw around, oh, they copied this person copied. It's a formula that's worked around the world.
Well, as we've been saying, we are big fans of the Shameless podcast and I listen every week. It's weird because I understand why they're getting criticism, but also I find some of it quite unfair. And I feel like it's a lot of tall poppy syndrome going on. And also that philosophy that there seems to be a ceiling for women and success. And it seems like they've kind of tipped the edge over being too successful at the moment.
Oh, yeah, because they're not relatable.
Well, it's interesting because this tall poppy syndrome kind of fits into the element of why influencers are grouping together, because there's the philosophy, if they grow in a group together, it could potentially stop their chances of being cut down. So in a sense, they protect each other and back each other up in this girl clique group.
And this isn't the first time we've seen this happen with influencers. There was actually a Brisbane clique of YouTubers, and it was Shani Grimmond, Michael Finch, Lily Brown, Sky Wheatley, and a few others that they sort of started grouping together. And I suppose it's that thing of, okay, well, I'm going to be on your channel and then pick up some of your followers and you do the same for me. And it even went as far as them going on group holidays. And I think that was their peak of their success. But then it seemed that the group kind of disbanded and there were rumors about people having fights and that sort of stuff. So it'd be interesting to see how it develops with this Melbourne clique.
It's a very strong marketing tactic by Shameless. Obviously, we've heard them speak in podcasts before how there was a lot of strategy involved with making their podcast take off. And obviously, they know if they're associated with the right sort of people and being shared on their Instagram accounts, they are going to get more listeners on board.
Well, it's very clever. On your point, Soph, about it being a lucrative marketing strategy, working in PR, you do hear figures tossed around. And I did hear from an insider that I think their podcast gets about $5,000 an episode in sponsorship, which, good on them. That is amazing if you can be making that. So if you look at the number of episodes, they do two. That's $10,000 between them a week.
Also, they do have Annabelle Lee, their producer.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their deal is with Bumble for Love, etc. But it's obviously making them quite a lot of money, which, as I said, that is fantastic that they've been able to grow it from nothing into something amazing like that. But the question is, if you're getting that much money a week, do you kind of have to take on board the criticism? It's hard because from my perspective, I'd go, oh, wow, I wouldn't even care what people were saying if I could be earning something like that.
Would you really? I think that I'd want, you know, my podcast to stand for something I was actually passionate about.
No. I just mean that there are always going to be people out there who troll you. But at the same time,
I actually think what is happening at the moment, they are going to lose listeners en masse if the reviews continue the way they are.
No, you're saying that, because I think what Amy was saying was, would you be trolled for that amount of money? But what you're saying is that they need to listen to the reviews.
Well, we get bloody trolls and we don't get anywhere near the number of Shameless. And it does hurt, but I feel like you become desensitized to it. So I do understand it would be so hurtful if they're receiving comments, but just block.
Well, I think there's a widespread comments and they're pretty nasty.
But do you think that that's what you've got to expect if you're getting that much money?
Well, Michelle Andrews herself, when she was talking about Cassidy from Love Island, basically said, hey, being an influencer is a pretty easy job. So if the worst of it is trolling, and I'm not saying creating a podcast is easy because it's not, it's actually very difficult. And they do seem to have a lot of other projects on the go, but also they're in a privileged spot where, hey, they are hanging out with these cool people that they used to probably idolize. And secondly, they're getting all these opportunities that no one else is. So I do think you have to take it. And that was the interesting thing. After the public announcement, it seemed like, because I was looking forward to hearing what they had to say on Monday's episode of the podcast. I was thinking,
now you with the public announcement, you mean their comment regarding trolling?
Yeah. So after they publicly put on Facebook about they weren't happy with the comments that they were receiving, and they also mentioned that it was affecting their mental health, which is awful. But I was really interested to see what they said on this Monday episode. And instead of actually answering it head on, they then did an episode on the uncomfortable reality of internalized misogyny, where they explored why women are hypercritical of other women. But rather than saying, oh, hey, this is based on the fact that this is what's happened to us and this is why we're talking about it, they centered around Jamila Jamil and her comments. And I kind of found it a little bit self-serving. And that was what a lot of Shameless fans did come out and say in the review section. What did you guys think about it?
I thought it was a very well put together topic, but again, I thought it was quite self-serving. I feel like it would have been more powerful if they'd actually spoken about their experience and how they felt about being trolled and relayed that back to the listeners.
Because they did touch on the fact that some people had said negative things about their boyfriends, but it was sort of, I felt like that was really the tip of the iceberg. They could have really gone into it.
But also, I think what people are screaming out for, and if I was doing any sort of PR related to the girls, I would say, look, just acknowledge the comments. People are saying that they don't like them saying fine-footed friend. They don't like the inside jokes. And do you know what? They could easily be cut from the podcast. And when you do have a podcast, you have to take constructive criticism on board. I mean, if someone was saying that in our reviews 15 times, I'd just get rid of it.
And that was people's biggest problem, is that they didn't take the criticism, which was actually from their fan base, on board.
That they said it in a nice way.
Yeah, and they said it was from trolls. So they wanted them to acknowledge. The following Monday, which was even more surprising, they did another polarizing episode about Clementine Ford's reaction to being trolled by a 14-year-old and subsequently trial by social media, putting up his photo for other people to comment on. Now, they didn't explore the whole issue and pretty much stuck up for Clementine Ford because she is someone that appeared on one of their interview segments.
Well, it was a prime example of, I suppose, what we're talking about, them not being able to be balanced in what they're talking about. They acknowledge that they had a friendship with Clementine Ford, but they were unable to actually fairly explore the other side, which people were outraged about.
And then, if that wasn't enough, because that did get a lot of backlash, was that they then had her on the pod phone saying, oh, hey, you know, it was great basically that you stuck up for me. And it was just really odd.
But and you then can stick up for somebody and show both sides. And I think that's all they needed to do.
Yeah,
but
if they had said, hey, I mean, they did bring up issues about child suicide, but it was actually used as ammunition on Clementine Ford's side. It wasn't used as, oh, hey, but we've got to be mindful of this.
But can I say, that's what I used to love about their podcast, the fact that both Michelle and Zara would have a different opinion on the topic. It seems like they're too afraid now to disagree on anything or to have an opinion that's bold or out there like they used to have.
Well, I still think they would have their own opinions, but they don't want to piss anyone off, especially influential people, because Clementine Ford, I mean, I really like her. She's got a great podcast out at the moment. But again, she's becoming a part of that clique.
And also, her behavior was questionable. It's sort of the, one of those ones that's sort of up in the air. Yeah, I like her. Was it right? Maybe not.
Well, I definitely think it'll be interesting to see how the podcast continues to evolve, particularly with this feedback. And what we normally see with Tall Poppy Syndrome is once people are cut down, they have another resurgence. So it'll be really interesting to keep an eye on what's going to happen next.
She's the least exciting to look at.
And now it's time for the pit and peak of the social media week. And we have all been frothing the peak, which is finding out the cast of Money Heist's Instagram accounts. Now, I have been waiting for Sophie and Amy to get on the bandwagon of Money Heist the last couple of weeks. And they started the series and they were sort of like, no, I don't like it. And now they're both hooked. And I feel really proud about that.
I'm into season 3 at the moment. We've binged the past 2 seasons in the space of a week.
Yeah, that was impressive.
My whole life. It is my whole life.
I was a real asshole last night because I was watching it with Dale. And then he wanted to go to bed. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be in bed soon. I watched 2 more episodes.
It's so good. It was because, you know, Sophie was saying it was her whole life. I mean, I've been unemployed. So can you imagine why I'm so obsessed with it?
I feel like we should give a bit of a background of what the show is for someone who might want to watch it on Netflix.
Oh, the thing is, for me, I feel like it sounds so crap and it would be something that I'm just not interested in.
But
basically, it's a Spanish crime drama and it's amazing. It's addictive. Anyway, so now that I have already watched all 4 series and I probably have to wait a year for the next one, which I'm really sad about.
Is there a next one?
Yeah, there's going to be like 2 more series. Well, when Netflix gets back into production. So I went and followed everyone from the show on Instagram. And I got to say, I love Denver even more because he has the cutest cat I've ever seen. Sorry, his name's, I think it's like Jamie Lorento or something.
I think it is.
Something like that.
What has blown my mind, though, is the fact that these cast members have so many followers. So the professor, who is my favorite character, he looks like an older version of Rafael Nadal.
Now, crazy.
He has 10 million followers.
Well, really? The actor that plays Denver's got like 15 million. What I found really interesting delving a little into, because it's kind of like a bit of a mystery because obviously it's not written in English. All of their titles and captions are written in Spanish. So there was a lot of rumors going on that the actress that plays Tokyo and the actor that plays Rio are actually together in real life. And if you go over their Instagram accounts, there's all these like lovey-dovey photos and they're all putting like, I love you so much. But it actually turns out that she, I think her name's Ursula, has a boyfriend who she's been with since before Money Heist.
The same thing is happening on my other new favorite Netflix show, Out of Banks. So on Out of Banks, the 2 main characters are also leaving flirting messages.
Oh, the hot ones. The hot 2 hot people.
Yeah, the hot B and Sarah are both leaving messages on each other's pages.
But are these obsessed groups, you know, that people that ship?
No, these are the actors. But I think Netflix are probably behind it. I feel like they're like, make it more interesting.
Okay, I have to say, if you're interested in the Out of Banks goss, So John B and Sarah, they're actually isolating together in real life. So, but it's also a number of the other cast members. So there's about five of them all living in one property together at the moment.
Well, I will trump your goss by saying we did have it on our website last week, and it's probably old news because they've been dating for 2 years, but I'm interested in this. The actor that plays Denver and the actor that plays Allison Parker are also isolating together, and they've been boyfriend and girlfriend since 2018.
And just moving on to the pit of the week, for me, it had to have been Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville's latest YouTube. Now, I love their content on YouTube, but it was probably poor timing. It was Chloe Zepp picking up her brand new Audi, which, what an amazing car, but it coincided with the drop of her new activewear line. And I feel like in the current climate, it was probably a poor choice to put it up.
Yeah, it's a little bit tone deaf to be bragging about all of your activewear has sold out, and the very same day you're picking up a brand new Audi and then going back to your, you know, huge mansion that you're renting.
It was kind of an interesting insight into how quickly her Chloe Zepp range does sell, because they showed the sort of analytics of the website and they showed 1,300 people in the cart section. So buying her stuff. And I think you said her shorts are about $75. So it's probably like she probably made, what, like $80,000 that day?
Well, it was funny because I'm so influenced that day. I think I messaged both of you with the shorts because she actually hadn't announced what time she was dropping them. And I was like, is it just Neil? Does anyone like these shorts? Like, I was so sucked in because it's so bad. You just see them on everyone and you're like, they're cool. But they probably cost like nothing to make.
I just think I'm all for people making money from their own business. I just think it wasn't the best timing to be showing off such a large scale purchase like that.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I don't know why it does. Why does it have to be on Instagram and YouTube? It could have been private.
Mm.
I'd like to toast to Stacey and Michael for having the fakest relationship in Australian reality TV history.
Now, moving on to our reality TV wrap of the week, and probably my favorite story going around is the fact that it seems Kieran from last year's series of The Bachelorette and Tully Smythe, of course, who we spoke about earlier, are dating.
I can now totally see them together. Like, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, so I actually did a major stalk because, as Kate mentioned, I'm not trying to plug our website, but we do have an entertainment website. And I became interested in what Kieran was up to because he's, of course, appearing on Bachelor in Paradise. And I couldn't help but notice comments from Tully kept popping up. And so I did a little digging and they are totally dating. All of the comments are, oh, I took this photo. She's taken about five of his recent Instagram photos. There's love hearts, there's kissy faces. There was one photo that Kieran put up of him lying on, it was some ad for koala mattresses or beds or whatever it is. He wrote something about, oh, who wants to join me? And she wrote, I heard you hog the bed.
Well, this is what I don't get, because Channel 10 keep delaying The Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm.
But I feel like the producers must be getting so annoyed because so many of the people on it have big public profiles. Say Brittany Hockley, she has her own podcast called Life Uncut, and it's quite clear that she is single.
Yeah.
Mm. Or she's a very good actor. Well, she did do acting school, but so also, who knows?
Obviously, Abby Chatfield, she's got her own podcast too, and she's talking about her ex-boyfriend who she loves. So
But on her recent one, she said that they'd broken up. And also, I found it really interesting, but she said she was dating Todd when the Bachelor series that she was on was airing. Yeah. Which I was like, wow, this is some great tea.
Well, we also look at the new Bachelor, Lockie, and he's now sliding into all these different girls' DMs as well. So what is going on?
ISO doesn't seem to be treating the Bachelor franchise very well. There's also the story about Bachelor fave Tim Robards, of course, the original Bachelor. He was caught leaving an eggplant emoji on Tully Smythe's photo.
Oh, what's Kieran going to think about that? And Anna, isn't Anna pregnant?
Yeah. So the photo was of Tully and it was, I think it was kind of revealing. You could see some boob going on, some cleavage going on. And but the post was meant to be some advertisement for some facial she'd had, something to do with her skin. And she said, oh, you've got to protect your biggest organ. And then Tim wrote under, well, he put the eggplant emoji and then a winking face and said something that, referring that was his biggest organ.
That makes him look like a complete wanker.
I'm sorry, what was he thinking? How did he think that would be received
just
by people?
Just DM that if you're going to do it.
Well, I think it'd be weird to DM. The Daily Mail wrote an article about it and they reached out for Tim for comment and he said that it was apparently a joke.
Of course. I wonder if Anna found it funny. Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, I am the only one that is still watching MasterChef. So I will have to give a bit of a wrap up of the week that was, because it was a very sad week for me. I had flashbacks of when I was 20, when Hayden Quinn got kicked off, because he was kicked off again last night, and it was quite devastating.
Was it with a daikon or whatever it was that he didn't cut
up
properly?
No, it was actually quite embarrassing, because the first round he cooked dumplings and he was going on how some of the other contestants helped him and they said they were really good the night before and then he cooked them and they were raw.
Oh,
now, no. Reese and I were joking that these guys are probably like, yeah, they're really good. You should cook them tomorrow, because they were shit. And then he cooked some meat and it was overcooked. So yeah, he left. But I suppose the bigger news was the fact that Katy Perry joined the MasterChef kitchen, and this was chaotic. I was kind of just expecting her to come in, take her money, be a bit bland, but no, it was completely the opposite. She was singing, she was playing up to the camera, she was also being a bit sexual with the judges and the contestants. So there was a contestant called Sarah who obviously had a little bit of a crush on her, because the first thing she said to Katy Perry was, "Oh my God, you're so gorgeous." And she was sweating and really nervous. And then whenever she got the chance, Katy would walk up to her and whisper like 10 minutes to go in her ear and stuff. And what also was funny was apparently she sprained her thumbs, so she couldn't even cut up the food. So a lot of women out there would have been jealous, because Jock was cutting up her food.
And I wouldn't have been.
And she actually said, "Thanks, Daddy," which then Andy repeated. So it was hilarious. There was also the incident with Reese, who was clearly a massive fan of her, and he was just frothing her the whole time. And when he served the cake he made, she then folded up a napkin, held it up to her boobs, and said, "Reese, you're the tits." And everyone just lost it. It was actually an amazing episode.
Just moving on from MasterChef and on to Big Brother, I think a lot of ladies are going to be very excited, because Big Brother have announced they're putting in what they're labeling the hottest housemate ever. Have you guys seen him?
Yes, I did.
Chad Hurst is his name.
He was one of those tattoo guys, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a model and he's also a tradie. He looks really good in his modeling pictures, as in his face. He looks like a model. But
not his body?
What about, well, I don't really like tattoos, but what about Blair McDonough? Wasn't he the hottest housemate ever?
He was very cute. Yeah, that was 20 years ago when we were 12. So as a 12-year-old, I did think he was attractive.
I mean, obviously beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but to me, when I saw that they were touting him as the hottest contestant ever, I kind of cringed a bit. He kind of looks like a stripper.
Oh, do you know who I think is the hottest contestant?
Who?
Drew.
Yes.
Drew. It was the one that Tully Smythe, who we keep talking about in this section.
Oh, I forgot about Drew.
Yeah, he'd probably be... Him and Blair, I reckon.
Maybe we'll do a hierarchy.
Yes.
Is that offensive?
We've got to see his personality, though, because I feel like personality really does come into looks.
Well, he's a Bondi personal trainer.
No, I don't like the sound of it.
But apparently, because obviously Big Brother's already been filmed, there's rumours that he hooks up with another housemate, so there's going to be another Big Brother romance. She's a former Olympic gymnast.
Of course. Of course she is.
That's what the show needs. We need some romance.
Can they just hurry up and put it on TV?
Please give it a thumbs up and give it a like, because it really supports my channel.
Well, let's finish up today's podcast with a little bit of Awkward Turtle. Now, Sophie, I don't know why, but you always seem to be filling us in for Awkward Turtle.
Yeah, it's been a little bit awkward for the past couple of months, because I live in a gated community.
Sorry, that sounds like you're like Oscar Pistorius.
it's just a bunch of units.
It's not a unit. It's a townhouse. No, we've got six townhouses in our little gated community. And
it is bloody annoying, because Sophie never answers her door. So you're always out at the gate and you're calling like her and she won't answer. Anyway,
for ages, like the whole time we've been there for a year and a half, and we haven't had any neighbor next door. So it's been great. Anyway, we discovered that the place was being put up for rent, and our new neighbors, they're a family of four, and the dad is a priest. And we have been a little bit on edge since we found out that news, because we've realized...
Hang on, didn't we discuss that he can't be a priest because they actually can't get married?
Sorry, a pastor. He's a pastor.
So okay, it's a little bit different.
He works at the church down the road. Anyway, they are literally like the Brady Bunch. The interaction between him and his daughter, it's so heartwarming and beautiful, but at the same time, it's just so cringe. They're always... The other day, he was out the front teaching his daughter how to ride her bike.
Oh, what a monster.
No, he's not a monster. He's lovely. Like that they were singing together. They were playing the guitar.
That just reminds me of us and Dad.
Yeah. Anyway, my boyfriend Brandon was cleaning out our garage, and I'm outside hanging up the washing, and I hear the father and daughter out in the yard singing Kumbaya or whatever they were singing. And all of a sudden, I just hear this swearing emerge from the garage, with C-bombs being dropped and the F-word. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to hear us. And it was just hilarious, the absolute comparison from next door to our house. And there was a lot of, I just felt really guilty about it.
It's funny you say that because you've got a pastor living next door. I have a garbage man living next door
to my house.
Yes, I thought Reese was joking. And he is a lovely man. But I've got to say, he and his wife and kids scream all the time. And I am in this position where I'm like looking down at them. Because normally when the three of us were living together, we had the noisy house. And it is such a funny thing.
Isn't it funny though? Because I feel like you could never be friends with your neighbors because they just know too much about you.
Well, I feel like those smug people that they don't really know much about us. And it, oh my gosh, they had a kitten out the front. They had a cat and it keeps pissing on our porch. And then the other day there was just this random kitten. I'm like, why is it out the front? It's just hilarious.
Well, I think it's a fun idea. Head to our community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community, and tell us if you've got a strange neighbor. I didn't add to the conversation because our windows are open and our neighbors sit very close.
We often hear the dog next door barking in the podcast.
Yeah, sorry about that, everyone.
You know, adding on to the strange neighbors conversation, we actually had a friend and they started a relationship with their neighbor next door. They were in a half house.
Mm.
And when they split up, it was incredibly awkward.
Oh, imagine bringing someone else back or having a date and the person's just spying on you. Wow. All right, well, I'd love to hear. They don't have to be weird stories. It could even be a nice, like, Ramsey Street neighbor moment.
Mm. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy today's episode, we'd love if you could share it on your Instagram story and please tag us so we can, of course, reshare it.
And it'd be great if you could also click subscribe so you can be alerted when we drop a new episode each week.